It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 305. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics, or any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. Please do not use the Mike at miketechshow.com email, which I used to have in the early days when I was started the podcast. Right now, since the domain hasn't been officially transferred, it's just forwarding, I'm not getting that mail. So any email, please direct to miketechshow@gmail.com. The feeds for the podcast, iTunes, I was able to take care of it because I was able to redirect a new feed. And that's going to save me a tremendous amount of time in posting up, you know, doing all that post-production work. And I'm able to take advantage of WordPress. The original feed, which is that miketechshow.xml, you're probably better off addressing it at mikenation.net/miketechshow.xml. But I'd prefer you don't use that and use the feeds listed on the site, where I made a post a few days ago on the proper feeds to use. Go to the website. You'll see a link on the right-hand side for the blog and for the podcast only. Use those feeds. And I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that those feeds will stay the same even when the domain's transferred. So I'm hoping that the website will respond the same to mikenation.net and miketechshow.com. Hang in there as I go through this little transition, and I thank you all for your patience. Also, we have the wiki, mtswiki.com, and don't forget, if you're on Twitter, follow me on Twitter, and then you can receive when I post up the audio for the show or when I'm going live, or usually it's going to be when I'm doing another show or maybe a guest on another show, or I have a special guest here or whatever that's podcast related, Mike Tech Show related. Follow me on Twitter, and that's twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Also, you can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Okay, you know what? Let's not waste any time and take care of business and then just jump right into the show. GoToMeeting is a new, better way to hold meetings online. You've heard me talk about GoToMeeting for years. They have been a sponsor for over 5 years. And they're a sponsor because they have a great service that is one fee per month for unlimited meetings. You can easily create a meeting by just setting it up for one click. Everybody can go to GoToMeeting.com, click, join the meeting. They can see your desktop on their screen. You can hand off presentations. You can even highlight little areas that you're talking about. You can demonstrate software programs, slideshows, anything. It supports voice over IP, and it's just an incredible price for all of those features. And you get a chance to try it out free for 30 days. Just go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. This week, on May 4th, on Tuesday night, I appeared on Computer America with Carrie Holzman. And I enjoy doing that on a rare night, a non-Friday night, because normally, since the show's so late, it's 10 p.m. Eastern time to midnight, I like doing it on Friday nights where I don't have anything to do. I don't have to get up real early Saturday morning. Carrie gave me enough warning to pick any day I wanted this week, and I knew that I had nothing to do Wednesday morning. I had no clients' visits scheduled, So I picked Tuesday night. By accident, the live stream of Computer America was down. And we quickly, during the show, and I'm going to be posting the audio up with, minus the commercials, on Tech Vets. So there will be a Tech Vets 45 this weekend, and it will be the Computer America audio from Tuesday night. You'll notice that I will sound as normal, like I'm on a telephone for the first 20 minutes, but then it will kick in and the quality of my voice will change because we connected via Skype on one of the commercial breaks. And then I fed the entire show through this channel on Ustream that I use for the Mike Tech Show. And so everybody who was joining live was able to hear the live show. And that was great. And we decided this is how we're going to connect all the time. So for those of you, and I know there's a lot of you, who don't like the audio quality when I'm on Computer America, that will change. And now that we're going to have a better connection, the way Carrie is patching me through to the studio is a direct Skype connection, and it sounds like Carrie and I are in the same room. And speaking of that, in the post show, some of you were privy to this. Carrie and I started talking. I am going to schedule a trip to Arizona in October, and I'm going to do it where Carrie and I can do, he'll be a guest on my show, on a Mike Tech show for a Thursday night. I'll appear on Computer America that Friday night, and then we'll do a live Tech Vets from his studio, and that will be great. We're going to at least record three shows, maybe a couple more, and I am so looking forward to that. I haven't been to Arizona in a while. I used to travel there a lot with my previous employer. Looking forward to it. I am definitely getting ready to schedule that, so it should be a lot of fun. I have never met Carrie in person, so I am looking forward to it. Couple things before I get to email. Anybody who subscribes to MSDN or TechNet Plus, you heard me talk about getting Office 2010. Well, if you were like me and you downloaded it before May 1st, your key needs to be changed. So they've added a different product key. As a matter of fact, then they added 9 more. So you actually get 10. If you have Office Professional Plus 2010, there are some features that are not unlocked until you change your product key. I will have a link to the knowledge base article from Microsoft Support that goes into the detailed steps. It's very simple on getting a new key and putting it in. So this is if you download it from MSDN or TechNet Plus, Office 2010 Professional Plus, you need to change the product key. Also, Visio 2010, you have to change. I didn't have to change that because I downloaded the premium version of Visio, and then also Project. I guess there was no issue with that. Just wanted to share that tidbit with everybody. One other thing, you know, I always plug my Amazon link, and I appreciate that. Everybody who uses my Amazon link to purchase everything. Well, in the past, if you were buying Kindle books, I got zero commission. I don't know why. I mean, every other product I got commission. Well, finally, I now get the commissions on Kindle books. So those of you who were buying them using my link, now, from this moment going forward, I will get a commission. So please continue to keep using my Amazon link to buy the Kindle books. I don't know why they didn't give us I guess they had to work that out, I guess, with the publishers or whatever, for the commission, but they finally did, and I'm really glad because that was commissions that were being lost. Looking forward to that. All right, the first email for this evening from regular listener Jorge, and this was a response to a client problem I have from show 301 and about the RDP problem. And he says, I just listened to show 301 where you mentioned a user that was having problems using RDP, and that's just the remote desktop protocol. And the computer needed to be manually rebooted before she was able to dial in. That's after a session when she connected remotely. We'd have to reboot the system like the next day. Based on a recent experience, this is definitely a memory problem. I had a similar situation here, and replacing the memory did the trick. Everything is working perfectly now. Hope this helps. I'll wait for your final results on your investigation. Here's what I found. I did a memory check, and the memory's fine. And Jorge, it was really based on your email that I added that to the list. I also found a registry entry that needed to be made for a similar problem that was happening to a lot of people, where it changes the page image size for connecting remotely. I changed that. Then I also did a third thing. I updated the video driver, and that was a recommendation I seen online. So I spent some significant time in forums just plowing through this type of error and what everybody was responding to and what was working and not working. And they were the three things I tried. Knock wood, my client has not had a reboot her system. So I might have nailed it, and I don't know, was it the registry fix, which I really think it was, or the driver updated? I had nothing to lose by updating the driver. I often do this where someone has a problem, and there might be three or four things I can change that won't upset anything, and then I don't know which one really fixed it, but I don't have the time to try each one individually because I need a solution. And often we're faced with that, where do you make those two or three changes, fix the problem, but then you're not sure which one fixed it. And here I'm leaning towards this registry fix, and I will, of course, have a link to that in the show notes. But thank you, Jorge, for giving me some ideas for things to try. This is from Dave. This was in response to my SSL problem, which I'm still having a slight issue that I got to work out. I'm in the middle of listening to show 302 and heard your issues with applying an SSL cert to an Exchange server. I'm going through or about to similar challenges with client Exchange servers, and one thing I've found to help troubleshoot the mobile phone space is the Microsoft Exchange Remote Connectivity Analyzer site. Wow, that's a mouthful. And it is testexchangeconnectivity.com. It's https://www.testexchangeconnectivity.com. What a wonderful site, where you put the information in for your server, and there's a few questions you have to answer, and it is a great place to test your SSL cert. Now, this actually helped me diagnose a problem with a different client when I read this, and it was just great. So anybody doing testing, working with Exchange, working with ActiveSync, working with SSL, you are going to like this link. So, Dave, thank you very, very much for sending me that. This is Rich, and this is a video link on how to set up your email with Google Apps. Now, Byer Brown spent time doing this. Rich found another link that goes into different detail, and he says, "Hi, Mike. I know this topic has come up several times on the show, and you had invited listeners to create a video showing how to set up routing your email through Google Apps. Also, as I recall, Byer Brown did a video. However, the instructions I've heard on the show and Byer's video did not go into enough depth for me. Perhaps I'm a little slow." No. "I always have a domain with half a dozen family members and perhaps about 10 accounts. And the information I had seen so far did not explain how to get those accounts moved to Google and still make sure that they all are downloaded by Outlook. It turns out that my own web host, Bluehost, has a nice video available telling in great detail how to make the change step by step." And I have the link here. By the way, I have been with Bluehost for quite a few years and find their customer support to be very helpful. There is a host chat system and 24/7 telephone support, which has been very helpful since I do much of my administration after 11 p.m. Rich, thank you for that and the recommendation. And of course, I will post that link. This is from Alan, and he says, I've used Nlyte to create a Slipstream XP install disk. Now, for those of you who don't know, slipstreaming is a term where you take the operating system files that make up a CD and you add, and literally they call it slipstreaming the process. You merge a service pack or hotfix within the original files and then reburn the operating system. So now you have the updates. I ran into a problem trying to add Windows components that were not installed. In the add remove program screen, I get the message setup was unable to open information file nlyte.inf. Which I clicked the Windows Components button, I found the solution, which worked perfect. And we have a link to this from msfn.org. In researching the problem, I came across a site that contains many of the registry hacks you talk about. They are easy to save and then execute. I have tried several, and they work good. And this is from Kelly's Corner. It's KELLYS-KORNER. -xp.com/xp_tweaks. You know, it's so hard to talk about some of these links, and that's why you don't have to worry about writing these links down. They're always big and complex. Just remember, go to miketechshow.com, go to the latest show, or, you know, go back a few weeks if it's a show that, you know, you were listening to before, and you don't have to worry about writing these links down while you're listening. You can then get all these links that I'm talking about. So I'm going to have both of these links that Alan has sent. Thank you so much for that. Curtis with an SSL problem. And he sent me the problem, and then he followed up saying that it was solved. And the problem, how he solved it, very, very interesting. I have a computer from a friend that was infected with some kind of malware. I cleaned those off, and everything seemed to be working pretty well. However, I go to a certain site like GoDaddy, and it says that the SSL certificate has been expired. This only happens on this one computer. Mine, there's no problem. It does this on many sites and not just GoDaddy. Also, when you try to do anything with the Windows firewall, it pops up and says Windows firewall is not running. And if I want to start it, click yes, but this fails. I looked this up on the Microsoft site, and it has some suggestions, but they don't work either. I'm almost certain that this computer was hijacked. They were running it as a web server, Windows XP apparently, and were giving remote access to developers. All around a bad idea. It was locked down and probably had a ton of security holes. Anyway, if you have any suggestions, I would greatly appreciate them. I'm stumped as to why it says the certificates are expired. Googling didn't give me anything. Hey, Mike, this is from Curtis. Just wanted to let you know that I figured out the problem with the SSL certificate at certain sites. The date and time was not correct on the computer. Now I know. Thanks again for a great show, Curtis. Think about that. If your date and time is wrong, and then you're going to a site that's reading a different date and time that looks like it expired, what a great solution. Sometimes the obvious, the easiest things that are in front of us escape us. And that's why it's always great to share problems and questions with someone else. Bounce it off someone else, like myself, like other listeners in the chat. Send me an email. I'll talk about it. And maybe we'll come up with something that, although is obvious to us because we've seen it, maybe. Not when you're in the trenches trying to solve it. Sometimes these obvious things just, they escape us. And that happens to me all the time. I can solve your problem when you write in or I'm at a client's. But if I have the problem, I draw a blank. I don't use the same methodology when it comes to me. When I have a problem, I panic. Well, my system and some of the basic troubleshooting skills that I have, they get lost when it's my problem. Where sometimes basic things that I always recommend to someone, why don't I do it for myself when I run into the same issue? So I don't know if you experience the same thing where it's always easier to solve someone else's problem. This is from Daryl, and he says, backing up data, I suggest, this was in response to show 302, I suggest that they get a Synology box. I have a CS407E. Not only can you do secure backups over a network, but it has four bays and built-in RAID setup so you can back up your data and it can be set up as RAID 0, 1, 5, or 6. So thank you very, very much for that recommendation, Daryl. This is Farron. On show 303, you read a letter asking your thoughts on recording a staged interview as something to go along with a resume. That gave me an idea for something I'd love to hear you do on your show sometime. Do a show where you do an interview of someone. Here's one possible way it could work. You'd create an imaginary tech job and post the job description on your site. Take actual resume submissions from listeners of your show, post them on your website, and do a show where you talk about the resumes and how you decided which ones to bring in for an interview. Now, I love the concept, but I never want to falsely advertise a job. And then I would have to get everybody that is involved in this to sign off on me being able to use their resume, use their, you know, that particular interview. I would love to maybe organize this somehow professionally where in the office setup, there is a release that they understand that they're being videotaped and this is going to be used for training material or something like that. And I know there are places that have done things like that, but you have to let the person know they're being recorded. And what happens if they don't feel good about everything and it's like one that you really want to share with the world, but if they don't sign a release and give permission, I can't use it. So there's a lot of, I love this idea. And maybe I can work this idea and let me keep going here. Then do a phone interview with the selected people and post the audio of the interviews as another show or shows. Include your director's commentary over the top. As someone who has a lot of experience with this process, watching you go through the entire selection process and listening to actual interviews would be invaluable for someone like me who has very limited experience with such things. I have no doubt that a number of your listeners would play along. Maybe you could even have a small prize for the person that you finally select for the job just to give a little incentive to the applicants. Now, I like this, and I might even play along myself as I've never been through an actual interview process. So if I let everybody know that it's for a show and that it's a mock interview and, you know, that they do their best for applying for the job, but I keep it out in the open and put it, you know, dangle a prize at the end, that is a good idea. But it's going to be open. It's going to be straightforward. Everybody's going to know who's involved. And it's a great idea. I just got to work out the particulars for this. But I know that that is a show that would have an incredible amount of downloads as it would, I would think, grow virally through the internet. Because a show like that will yield very important tips on interviewing and what to do, what not to do. Farron, a great idea that I'm going to give some thought and work this into some form of a show doing something like that. This is from Drew, a listener answer. I just listened to the last episode and there were two listeners with emails asking you about bandwidth. The first one asked for a program to monitor his monthly bandwidth. I recommended getting an old beige box and install a home firewall solution like PFSense, Astaro, ClearOS, Untangle. These are great recommendations, by the way, just to name a few. Most of these offer a sort of monthly monitor, but not all of them. I am running ClearOS on an old beige box with a 250 gig hard drive. My favorite feature of ClearOS is the Squid server. Squid is a web caching proxy that could save you on your bandwidth. It caches what you have downloaded from the internet. And you can also enable the transparent mode. This will enable all traffic to go through the proxy without any configuration on your client's machines. This would solve the second listener's issue of doing Windows updates through multiple machines, between multiple machines. Windows Update would download the cache updates from the Squid server instead of downloading the same file from the internet several times. With things like Apple movie trailers, if you downloaded a 1080p trailer, it can be almost 200 megabytes. If you want to watch it a second time, it will download another 200 megs. If you have the Squid server, it will download the second time from the server and transfer at local network speeds instead of your internet connection speed. So he really explained how a proxy server works, and that is what Squid is. With today's ISPs capping what you download, I think a local Squid server is an absolute necessity. Great idea, Drew. Thank you. This is from T. Daly, and he sent me some PDFs and some links to forward to Lou, who's the one who asked about the bandwidth monitoring. In show 304, you had a request by email from Lou for how to monitor bandwidth usage. I became concerned with bandwidth usage over a year ago when I heard Comcast was implementing a 250 gig cap. I had no idea how much I was using. I already had a Netgear VS114 VPN endpoint router that I was happy with and wanted to keep. I installed a Buffalo WHR G54S with Tomata firmware as a second level router for bandwidth monitoring. In the Tomata firmware, I selected router as the mode of operations, so it does not perform any NAT or firewall functions. It simply routes from the WAN to the LAN port and tallies up the incoming and outgoing bandwidth usage. I did have to move the DHCP server function from my Netgear to the Buffalo router. Other than that, all of my port forwarding operations work just fine through the Buffalo router. The Tomata firmware has excellent displays for real-time, last 24 hours, daily, weekly, and monthly usage. Comcast just released an online bandwidth monitoring tool, and I found that was reporting as my usage agrees with the totals I've been seeing from the Tomata firmware. I've attached screenshots of the Tomata firmware bandwidth screens and a diagram of my network layout. I hope this helps Lou. You can forward my email address to him if he has any questions. So thank you for taking the time to do that. I'm going to post links to the Tomata firmware and everything that he has talked about, because that is a great idea. And that came up in last week's post-show chat when we started talking about the different ways of monitoring bandwidth. So you have IPCOP. I think setting up an Untangle box, and we've talked about Untangle before, where you can take an old computer, download Untangle, the free version. It's a Linux distribution that you can block websites, monitor the usage, and a great piece of software that's free that you can play with and get some experience with in, you know, having a device like that for your home network. So There's lots of free services out there. I like, now this doesn't monitor your bandwidth as much as it does preventing you from going to bad websites if you want to block them. You can use the service that I've often talked about, OpenDNS. And to use OpenDNS, all you do is take their recommended DNS servers and put them at your router so you can easily push that out to all your systems. And then you are using OpenDNS's DNS servers instead of the ones that your ISP provides you. And that will prevent phishing sites, you know, sites that they try to lure you. That's why they're called phishing sites. Lure you to that fake PayPal site or the fake eBay site or the fake bank. You know, you have to be very careful of sites like that. And OpenDNS is very good at seeing that and blocking it. I have a voicemail here from Kevin in the chat, and then we will get to some music.
Hello, Mike. This is Kevin, a Reliant in the chat room from Akron, Ohio. I came across what seems to be a very useful piece of software that will not only look for drivers on a PC, but actually back them up. It's called Double Driver, and it's available at B as in boy, O-O, Z as in Zelda, E-T.org, or boozet.org. And they have some other useful things there as well. Talk to you later. Bye.
Great tip. Thank you, Kevin. And I appreciate that, and I have to check that out. All right. Now, for my music selection, you heard me talk about probably more in the post shows than in the show. I think I mentioned I went to the final event of the Philadelphia Spectrum, where the Spectrum was closing down, and the final four nights of the Spectrum's life, of the last event, was Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam, they were there four nights. And I was there at the very final concert of the very last night of the Philadelphia Spectrum. And it was Halloween night of all nights. And you know, I must be a big Pearl Jam fan because playing across the street was the Philadelphia Phillies in a game four against the Yankees. And I gave that up to go to the Pearl Jam concert. So give a listen. This is one of my favorite songs, and this is the live bootlegs that were finally released today. These are the official bootlegs from Pearl Jam. They were released today, and I was able to download them and get a hold of them, and I will put a link for where you can purchase them. Give a listen. I'm actually going to be doing a double shot here. There's going to be two songs, and this is the first one. That is Pearl Jam, Corduroy, and one of my favorite tunes. They played that very early in the concert. Now, this is a long title, but it's known as Small Town. And this is the last song as we wrap up this edition of the Mike Tech Show. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
1, 2, 3, 4. I seem to recognize your face. Yeah, I can't seem to place it. Can I find the candle of thought to light your name? Oh, life, times they're catching up with me. Oh, all these changes taking place. Oh, I'm glad I saw this place, but no one's ever taken me. Hearts and thoughts, they fade. Slowly raising, you
that was Pearl Jam, Small Town, and recorded live on Halloween night, the last night of the Philadelphia Spectrum. I had a great time, and you can obtain those bootleg recordings from each night that were mastered and put together and released for download, and it's just $9.99 per night. And you can download the MP3s, and that's at pearljam.com. I'll have a link in the show notes to that. That is it for show 305. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. I really appreciate it. Before we go, don't forget the affiliate links on the left-hand side of the website. If you are using any of those products, if you buy from buy.com, Rhapsody, if your Skype, if you got to buy some more a Skype out phone number and or Skype minutes, use those links on the left-hand side of the website, and a donation that acts as a donation for a commission to the Mike Tech Show, and I really appreciate it. That's it. Talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.